"They're singing the queenless song," the old beekeeper said. A tall, thin man who doesn't appreciate fools. He's known by islanders as the honeyman of Fulford Road. Once he was a mathematics teacher, but the bees snatched him. These days he's a swarm of advice, educated in many things, and his knowledge makes him cranky on occasion. I go to him for instruction. After he's finished lecturing me about the failures of my generation, the secrets spill out. He's generous despite himself as he tells the stories of a lifetime among insects. They've spoken to him for so many years, I think he's become ashamed of his own species. My initial hive was troubled. Even an amateur like me knew it. So I stuffed the entrances with foam and bound it with the bungee cords he'd given me, humped the hive into my pickup, and drove it to his cluttered yard. As soon as I dropped the tailgate and we stood listening, he knew she was gone. A hive is always talking to itself. This one was humming grief. There was no queen, and all the larval cells were too old to convert into a queen. The hive was doomed. Its last survivors wandered mournfully on the empty combs without purpose. A sick hive can even smell different. The odor of the combs, their color and their density constantly vary, red, thick and blackish, pale and fluid, or even crystallized like sweet amber. Resting my hand on the lid, I felt a low, sad thrumming. A healthy hive is aggressive if disturbed, and a couple of guard bees will immediately leap into the air. If I bang the hive, an angry mob will kamikaze toward me. When a bee stings, the exquisitely designed barb, its tip, composed of two lancets jabbing alternately, sucks itself under the skin until the apparatus snaps off at a breakaway point and remains in the flesh, venom sac attached, shouting an olfactory war cry as the bee stumbles off and dies, self-eviscerated. The released scent of the sting directs new warriors to the ambush site. Meanwhile, after 7 minutes, the venom sac reactivates and pumps in another shot. I've watched this often. The intestines act like a thinking organism. When I approach a hive, even if the advance guards do not sting, they will seize me with their mandibles and dab me with a volatile odor that will lure other guards, who will decide if I am worthy of the sacrifice, since every sting means suicide. Only the queen can sting repeatedly. Bee venom is a miraculous substance composed of 76 chemicals, which interrelate in a way that amplifies their effects. A tiny stinger slightly thicker than a pin can kill people with sensitive immune systems. Deadly poisons, according to Ovid, are concealed under sweet honey. But a poison is only a medicine delivered in the wrong dose. Bee venom has been used for centuries to treat diseases like arthritis and, more recently, multiple sclerosis. Some apitherapists have suggested that acupuncture originated from studying the effects of bee stings on various parts of the body. I have a neighbor afflicted with MS. Every 2 days, his wife uses tweezers to place live bees on the key acupuncture points of his spine. He showed me his back once. Symmetrically inflamed by the healing stings. Paralyzed down one side when the disease first struck, he now fast walks past my gate every morning, with only a slight numbness remaining in 2 fingers. The effects of bee sting therapy vary wildly, and the disease can return. Others report that it merely helped them wiggle their toes. For someone with MS, that is encouraging news. Hope is huge in the world. What first drew me to the bees was my arthritis. I stung myself for several weeks. It was a curious experiment. Since Sharon is allergic, I kept a jar of bees in the spare bedroom in our barn. I'd lift a bee out of the jar with tweezers and hold it against my skin. The rush was brutal, especially by the time 30 barbs hung like tiny fetishes from my knees. The adrenaline would speed up my metabolism. pounding my heart against my chest, my skin alive with sensitivity, and I'd leak an awful-smelling sweat that enthusiasts claim is the body's toxins oozing out. Then in several minutes, the stings would deliver their second poison-injecting pulse. After 15 minutes, I'd remove the stingers. They slid out easily if I got the angle right. I'd sit and gaze at the water jar where I crushed and drowned the doomed bees. A bee doesn't die quickly after releasing its sting. And I'd feel overwhelmed with the sadness of the world. During the next days, my sweat ceased to stink, and I found myself more energized. I lost weight. The pain in my knees went away. However, after 6 blessed weeks, the arthritis returned. So I ended the treatment, but I decided to purchase some bees anyway. I guess you could say I'd been stung. For too many people today, bees are scary. There is something about tiny, crawling, stinging creatures that instinctively repels us. Seals are cute. Bees, spiders, wasps, we squash. Yet through a microscope or in a close-up photograph, they are lush, brilliant, seductive creatures, as beautiful as tigers and flamingos. The life of the hive, like much of farm life, is female. Males serve for stud service or slaughter. In the hive, every worker can become a queen, if she is fed royal jelly. But one suffices. Multiple drones hatch in the spring. Big and useless, they roam around like bumbling bachelors, enjoying the run of the combs, living in luxury, sometimes moving unrestricted from hive to hive, awaiting their glory moment. The young queen will make several preliminary flights, scouting her kingdom, perhaps to remember it for the dark years within the hive that lie ahead. Then one day she will leap out of her hive and take to the air, releasing a jet trail of pheromones, emitting a chip-chip-chip sound as she lunges for the sun. So loud is her cry, so strong her odor, males will find her from 10 miles away. Those that fly the highest and fastest will reach her in the drone zone, 100 feet above the ground. Obsessive beekeepers claim they've heard the snap of their tiny genitalia as they break away from the queen and tumble to the ground, ripped apart by their one act of copulation. Sex and death with altitude. Once is not enough for a queen. She will accept several drones, ensuring the genetic diversity of the hive. Each one having to lunge higher and harder in the ecstatic nuptial flight, lushly described in Maurice Maeterlinck's The Life of the Bee, perhaps the most romantic passage on natural history ever written. After the nuptial flight, she returns triumphant, trailing her lover's genitalia like streamers, and the failed drones revert to their old bachelor mode, mumbling about the hive while the female workers grow more annoyed with them until, in what's known as the summer slaughter of the drones, they are evicted. Some will fight bitterly, uselessly, as the relentless females shove them out of the hive, suicidally stinging them to death if they resist, heaping up clumps of bodies on the landing and tumbling them down into the waiting mandibles of wasps. For thousands of years, the Americas thrived without the honeybee. Pollination was accomplished by bumblebees, mason bees, carpenter bees, stingless bees, and other insects. Mesoamericans learned how to extract some honey from varieties of bumblebee. Then, only a few centuries ago, Native Americans gazed in horror at a sky full of stinging flies. The arrival of a honeybee swarm meant that white colonists were not far behind, eager to seize and change the land. Now, in this new world, small farmers like myself are also endangered. Modern agribusiness spends more money on chemicals than on machinery or seed. Their pesticides are poisoning millions of bees, already suffering from other introduced pests, such as foul brood, a bacterium that eats bee larvae from inside out, varroa mites, tracheal mites. The wild European honeybee is approaching extinction. The large commercial apiary operations floating in a plethora of chemicals. Our islands until 10 years ago were the last in North America to produce organic honey. But the mite was illegally introduced by an ignorant beekeeper. And now we have to use chemicals also, merely to keep our bees alive. Yet I stubbornly continue to learn the world of the singing bees, who teach me small new lessons every day while going about their lives. Civilization, communication, progress, these are the myths we tell ourselves. I don't have faith in them anymore. But what's left of the natural world, though it's often brutal, I can still love. Resting my hand on a hive, I feel the thrum of the bees' conversations, and I dream about the mysteries they're discussing inside. Sometimes, on my better days, I think that language is just another word for the poetry of the earth.